Hilchas Kriya Shema, Perek Beis. In the first Perek, the Rambam established the very mitzvah of reading Shema, what you read, the brachas before and after, the time of reading at night, the time of reading in day. The second Perek is focused on the details of how we read the Shema. He's going to speak about the kavana that a person has to have when they read the Shema. He's going to talk about different interruptions during the time of Shema. He's going to talk about how a person should say the Shema. And finally, he's going to talk about different situations in reading the Shema that may disqualify it or may not disqualify it, and interruptions that happen in the middle of the Shema. Perek Sheni Halacha Aleph. If somebody reads the Shema, but he did not concentrate his heart. On the first pasuk of Shema, "Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God, Hashem is one." This person did not fulfill his obligation. But the rest of the Kriya Shema, even if he didn't have kavana, he fulfills his obligation. So the Rambam here is telling us a fundamental halacha, and that is, when we read the Shema, the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the person has to have kavanas halev, the person has to focus his mind and his heart on the words and on the theme of this verse, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. If not, you did not fulfill your obligation. The Rambam continues, Afilu hayakoyre b'toyre kedarka. Even if a person is learning Torah in a regular way, and it happens to be, he comes to the parasha of Shema, Oy magia, or a person, a sofer, a scribe, he's editing, he's fixing a sefer Torah. As ha parshiyus ha'elu b'ayinus kri, and he happens to be reading or editing these parshiyus in the time of the reading of the Shema, yatza, he fulfills his obligation, v'hu shekivin libe b'pasek rishon, as long as he had kavana in the first pasuk. So in other words, if I'm a sofer and I'm correcting the sefer Torah, and I happen to be reading through these parshiyus of Shema because I'm trying to make sure the ink is good and the letters are clear and everything, or I'm just reading the chumash and I happen to be holding a dispersion, and it's a time of krishma, the Rambam says it's fine, you read it, you fulfilled the mitzvah, as long as you had kavana by the pasuk Shema Yisrael. Halacha beis. Kol adam kaidin kedarkan. Every person could read Shema as they are, in their regular manner, bein oimdin, if they're standing, bein mahalkin, if they're walking, bein shaykhvin, if they're lying, bein reichvin al gaba behema, if they're riding on an animal. It's forbidden to read Shema if your face is flat on the ground, or you're flat on your back and your face is upward. But you could say Krishna when you're lying on your side. What if a person is very obese and it's very hard for him to turn over to his side, or he's sick and it's difficult for him to turn to his side, it's painful, he doesn't have the strength, so he turns a little bit to his side and he reads the Shema. So the principle on Halacha Beis is that essentially any motion during Kriya Shema is acceptable. If you want to sit, you could sit. If you want to stand, you could stand. If you want to walk, you could walk. And even lying in bed is also acceptable for Krishna, even riding on an animal. There's two exceptions, and that is lying flat on your back or lying flat on your face. Both of those are inappropriate postures for Kriya Shema. Unless a person is sick or very obese, at least he should turn a little bit to his side, even if he can't turn completely to his side. Halacha Gimel, Mi Shehayu Mahalech Al Raglav. If a person is walking, and it's the time of Kriya Shema, Oymid B'Pasuk Rishon. He does stop for the first pasuk, for Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, where you need kavana, and that is indispensable, that is essential, it's vital for Krishna. He stops, he says Shema Yisrael, v'ashar kareh v'hum alech. But the rest of Krishna, he could continue reading as he is walking. Haya Yashem, if somebody has been sleeping, and the time of Kriya Shema arrives, mitzari noisi, mi'iri noisi, achayikra pasuk rishon. So even though it aggravates him, we wake him up until he's fully up, so that he could read the first pasuk with kavana. Mikan ve'elech, the rest of Shema, ima nasatu shina e mitzari noisei. If sleep really takes him over, there's no mitzvah to aggravate him until he's completely up and says the whole Krishna with kavana. Shema Yisrael Shem Lekin Hashem Echad, we have to make sure he's not in this drowsy situation where he's half asleep and he's half awake. He's fully awake, even if we really have to push him. But the rest of Krishna, if he's really falling asleep and he can't control himself, okay, so he'll say the rest of Krishna without that much kavana. Halacha dalet, mi shahaya isik b'malacha. What if somebody is involved in labor and the time of Shema arrives? Mafsik achayikra parsha yoshayna kula. So he stops work until he finishes the first parsha, which means Shema Yisrael tilu visharech. V'chein ha'umnin. The same is true, people who are tradesmen or craftsmen and they're employed by others. So again, they take a break from the work, from Shema till Visharecha, Kadei Shaloi Tehei Kriyas Arai, so that the reading of Shema shouldn't be haphazard. In other words, even though for Kavana you only need the first Pasuk, but for them to do Shema while they're working is inappropriate. So you take a break from the work, from Shema till Visharecha, whether you're working for yourself or you're working for somebody else. V'hashar, but the rest of Shema, the other two parashas, Koyrei V'huayseh B'malachtei, he can read while he is engaged in work. Even if his work constitutes of the fact that he's standing on the top of a tree or the top of a wall, so there's always this fear that you may fall, you know, a person has to be very conscientious, it's fine. You could read Shema in the place, on the top of the tree, the top of the wall. We don't tell the person you have to come down, whether he's working for himself or he's working for somebody else, we don't tell him that you have to come down to do Shema. You could do it on top. He could also say the brachas before Kriya Shema and after Kriya Shema. If a person is involved in learning Torah and the time of Shema arrives, he stops learning and he reads the Shema. He makes a bracha before the Shema and after the Shema. But if somebody is involved in the needs of the community and the time of Kriya Shema arrives, lo yafsik, he should not interrupt his involvement to read Shema. Ela yigmar asakein, he should first finish what he's doing to help others, v'yikra im nishar eis likris. And then if there's still time to read the Shema, he should read the Shema. But if the time is up already, because it's already 3 hours into the morning, so the time of Kriya Shema is over, then he doesn't read Shema. But he still should not interrupt Oisik b'tzar chitzib. In other words, somebody who's involved in the needs of the community, this is a special halacha, that he does not have to stop for Kriya Shema, even though the time may pass. Again, if he finishes and there's still time, of course he should read Kriya Shema. But while he's involved in this, we have the principle of Oisik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. When he's involved in the mitzvah, he's exempt from another mitzvah, and therefore, he does not have to read the Shema. Haya Oisik b'achila, what if he was involved in eating? He was in the bathing house. He was involved in giving himself a haircut or getting a haircut. Or he was turning over the hides of animals, which they used to have to in the work of the tanners, where they would work out the hides of animals. So he is turning over the hides to see if it's being done right. Or you have judges who are involved in a case and the time of Kriya Shema arrives. So the halacha is, goymer, you could finish doing what you have to do, whether it's the meal or the bath or the haircut or turning over the hide or the court case, because you still have time to Kriya Shema. And then you read Kriya Shema because you have 3 hours into the morning. What happens if the person was afraid that maybe he's going to get caught up in the meal or get caught up in the bathhouse or get caught up in the haircut or get caught up with the hides or get caught up in the court case, and perhaps inadvertently the time of Shema will pass, and therefore the person decides to interrupt what he's doing in order to read Shema, raise a meshubach, even though it's not obligatory, but this person is praiseworthy for doing this. Now you'll ask a question, why in halacha, hey, when it comes to learning, the Rambam says you stop learning and you do Krishma. And all these things which are not even learning, it's eating and drinking, you don't tell him to stop. You tell him that he could continue and finish, and when he finishes, he'll read Kriya Shema, if there is time for Kriya Shema. Why don't we say the same thing with learning? Let him finish learning, and then he'll go to Kriya Shema. So the answer to this, the Kesef Mishnah answers, because he says, when you interrupt your learning for Kriya Shema, you're not really interrupting your learning, because Kriya Shema is also a form of learning. But when you're interrupting from your meal, or from turning over the hides, or from the court case, now you're really interrupting what you're doing for Kriya Shema. And since you started these endeavors in a permissible way, because you started it before the time of Kriya Shema, and interrupting this is really interrupting it, it's not like interrupting Torah for Kriya Shema. So therefore, the Chachamim said, it's fine, you could finish what you're doing, and then you'll read Shema, as long as there's time for Shema. Of course, if there's no time for Shema, then you should stop your meal and do Shema, and then you will go back to your meal. But when it comes to Oisik B'tzar Chitzibur, that is something unique. When somebody is involved in the needs of the community, then they don't have to stop the Kriya Shema. Even if there's no time, this is a mitzvah that they're doing, and they could continue doing it, and if there's time, there's time, and if there's no time, there's no time. Halacha Zayin. If somebody goes down to the mikveh, the person basically, he was impure, and he wants to go to the mikveh. So in the morning, early morning, he goes into a mikveh, and he goes down into the bath. If he has time to come up from the water, and to cover himself with a cloak, and to read Kriya Shema before sunrise, then yala v'yiskasa v'yikra. That's what he should do. Go to the mikveh, come back up, cover yourself, and read Kriya Shema before sunrise. But what if he's fearful that that perhaps by the time he gets up and covers himself, the sun will already have risen before he reads the Kriya Shema, and he wants to read Kriya Shema in the right exact time. So you know what? Yiskasa b'mayim sho'emet ben v'yikra. He could remain in the mikveh without clothes and cover his body in the water that he's standing in this water, and he should read Shema as he's in the water. But he should not cover himself. Not putrid water which has a horrible odor. And not soaking water in which they soaked flax or canvas, which again has a horrible odor. And therefore it's inappropriate to say Shema when there is such a terrible stench. Conversely, it can be a mikveh where the water is completely clear, because then his nakedness will be visible in the water. So when does it work? If the water is somewhat murky, so it's not transparent, but it doesn't have a bad odor, then he could cover himself in that water because his erva, his naked parts are not visible, and he could say the Shema in the water. If not, he should obviously come up and do the Shema when he could do the Shema. Halacha ches, hakayde kriya Shema. Somebody who reads Shema, lo yirmez be'enav, don't wink with your eyes in the middle of kriya Shema. Lo yikritz besvasav, don't move your lips. Lo yarebet, lo yerab, lo yarebetz ba'isav, and don't motion with your fingers. In other words, a person should be completely focused on the Shema kadei, shaloi tehei kriyas arai, so it shouldn't be a haphazard experience. V'masake, if you did do this, you're winking to somebody, or you're motioning with your fingers, you're going like this, come back, come here, go there, this, that, or with your lips. Afal pisha yotze yidechevase areza meguna. Even though you fulfilled your obligation, it's still inappropriate. V'tzarech lashmiel la'aznei kashohu kaire. A person has to hear what he says. In other words, you should say the Shema in a way that your ears hear the words. If you did not hear it with your ears, you said the Shema, but you whispered it, you can't hear it, yatsu, you fulfilled your obligation. And a person has to be precise and meticulous in articulating the letters of the Shema. But again, if not, he still fulfilled the obligation. So these are halachas which you have to do it, but if you don't do it, you still fulfilled the obligation of Kriya Shema. What does it mean to be precise and meticulous in the letters of Shema? So the Rambam continues, halacha tes, ketzad medaktik. Yizohar, you have to be careful, shalayarpa hachazak v'layichazik harafa. That which has to be pronounced in a powerful way, you should not make it loose. And that which has to be pronounced in a weak way, you should not make it powerful. And what the Rambam is referring to is, let's give an example. We have, we say, for example, in Kriya Shema, we'll say, V'nasati esev bisatcha livhemtecha. So instead of bisatcha, I may say visatcha. That's an example of yarpa hachazak. I'm supposed to say a base. That's a powerful base with a dagish. Instead, I'm going to say a vase. That's wrong. Or leichazik harafa. For example, it says vishinantam levanecha, and I'm going to say vishinantam lebanecha. So I'm taking the vase and turning it into a vase. It's inappropriate. V'loyanid hanach, v'loyaniach hanad. Literally, it means you shouldn't move that which rests, and you shouldn't rest that which moves. There are two types of shvas in Hebrew grammar: a shva nach and a shva na. So, for example, v'yahavta es Hashem alekecha, right? Do I say v'ahavita or v'ahavta? V'ahavta is a shvanach. V'ahavita is a shvanah. It's a moving shva. I'm not supposed to say v'ahavita. I'm supposed to say v'ahavta. V'ahavta. Right? The shva is a silent shva. It's not a pronounced, an emphatically pronounced shva. Don't say v'ahavita. Say v'ahavta. Or v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha or b'chol levavicha. I say b'chol levavcha. But then you have ubechol nafshcha, ubechol nafshicha. That's a shvana. So the Rambam says, don't exchange. Lefichach, therefore. So rechlitin revach bin kol shtei yisis ha-doimus. Sha'achas men b'soif teva, v'acheres tchilas teva smuchala. You have to be careful. Whenever there are two identical letters, one concludes a previous word, and one begins a new word to make space. Kegoin, for example. Bechol levavcha. Koire bechol. V'shaya, v'choyze v'koire levavcha. You say bechol, take a tiny break, a pause, and then say levavcha, because we say b'chol levavcha, one word sounds like it's missing its opening letter. So you say b'chol, and because the lamed begins the next word, levavcha, you say b'chol, a pause, b'chol levavcha. V'chein va'avadetem mehera, or hakonof psil. Va'avadetem ends with a mem, mehera begins with a mem. Don't say va'avadetem mehera. You see, va'avadetem mehera, va'avadetem mehera. A little pause. Hakonof psil. It ends with a fe, it begins with a pe. Hakanaf psil. So you say, Hakanaf psil tchelos. V'tzorich levaya zayin shel tizkiru. L'man tizkiru, you have to articulate clearly the zayin, because if not, it could sound like l'man tizkiru, l'man tizkiru, l'man tizkiru, which is that you should be rewarded, you should get scharit. It's a completely different word, right? L'man tizkiru is not l'man tiz, l'man tizkiru. It has a completely different meaning. Tizkiru means you should get rewarded, not that you should remember. So you have to be very clear that it should be tizkiru with a zayin. V'tzarech laharich b'dalad shel echad. When you say the Dalad of Echad, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to elaborate in your mind on the Dalad, Kadesh Sheyam Lichu Al Hashemayim V'Al Ha'aretz V'Al Arba Ruches, to coronate Hashem on the heaven and on the earth and on all the four sides of the world. V'tzorich Shlo Yachtoif B'ches Kadesh Shalehei Ko'imer Echad. You also shouldn't chap and say very fast the ches, because if you say a long Aleph, Echad, it sounds like you're saying Echad, which means, God forbid, he's not one, which is the antithesis of what you're trying to say. So the Rambam is saying here, when you say the Dalad, you have to have in mind to coronate Hashem over the heavens, over the earth, and over all the directions and all the sides of our universe and our planet. And be careful of how to say the Ches. It shouldn't be a long Aleph with a short Ches. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchas Krishma emphasizes and says you have to make sure when you do this, you shouldn't mispronounce the words. For example, some people do Echod, Echod. That's not how you read the Dalet. The Dalet doesn't have a dogish. The Dalet is supposed to be Echod, Echod, not Echod, Echod. It's a different, you're not supposed to pronounce it that way. It sounds like he says that the Dalet has like a Shva, Echod. So a person has to be careful that it should be a Dalet, not a Resh, Echod. So the idea is that when we think about these things, we also have to make sure to pronounce the letters correctly. Shulchan Aruch Harav also says in Hilchas Krishma Siman Samach Aleph, when it says that you should elaborate on the Dalet of Echad, it doesn't mean that the Dalet should be elongated, it should be lengthened in your pronunciation. Echad, that's not what it means. It means when you're saying the letter Echad, the letter Dalet, and afterwards, you should have in mind this idea that the Rambam tells you that you're coronating, in other words, you're accepting Hashem's sovereignty and Hashem's oneness, it pervades throughout every nook and cranny of creation, that which is above you, that which is below you, heaven, earth, and every aspect of life is harmoniously united in the infinite, all-pervading presence of the divine. Halacha Yud. Kairi Adam Shema B'chaloshan Sheyei Makira. A person could read Shema in any language that he understands. But if you're reading in any other language, you have to be aware of errors in that language. You have to be meticulous and precise while employing the words of that language as you are in Lashon Kodesh, if you're reading it in Lashon Kodesh. So the Rambam says you could read Shema in any language you want, all the three parashas, any language you understand. But you have to be meticulous and precise using the right phraseology and the right words of that language. Yud Aleph, Hakoyde l'mafreya. If you read Kriya Shema backwards, lo yotza, you did not fulfill your obligation. What do we mean? B'medvarim amorim b'seder hapsukim, in the order of the verses. So for example, instead of saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, a person starts off with Vahafta. You say, Vahafta Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'chol namshecha b'chol ma'idecha. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You see, you're reading the Kriya Shema backwards. The later pasuk became the first, the earlier pasuk. So that's not good. Avalim hiktim parsha l'parsha. But if you gave precedent to one whole parsha over another whole parsha, even though you're not supposed to, ani oimer sheyotza. The Rambam says, I say that you fulfilled your obligation, because the parshiyos of Shema are not juxtaposed in the Torah. In other words, the parsha of Shema, Tilu Visharecha, is in Veschanan. V'hayom Shamaya is in Ekev. V'yomer is in Shlach. So even though there is an order, let's say you start off Krishma, you say, V'yomer Hashem al Moshe Lemer Dabar al Bnei Yisrael. Then you say, Shema Yisrael V'havta Shem Alekecha. Then you say, V'hayom Shamaya. Or in a different order, the Rambam says you fulfilled your obligation even though you're not supposed to do that. Because the parshiyos are not juxtaposed. They're not in close proximity to the Torah. So therefore, if you change the order, you're fine. However, within a parsha itself, to read a later pasuk before an earlier pasuk, you didn't fulfill your obligation because that's not the parsha that the Torah wrote. Kara pasuk v'chazav v'kari pam shniyah. If a person reads a pasuk and he repeats it again, hareza meguna. This is disrespectful. A pasuk of Krishma should be read once and not and not repeat it again. Kara mila achas ukfala. But if a person reads a word and then repeats it, kagan shakara shma shma, he doesn't only read a whole pasuk. He says shma and then shma again. Now you silence him. Meaning, this is not just inappropriate, this is actually this person should be silenced. Why? Because this seems like you may be chalila accepting upon yourself a second deity. Shma once, and then shma a second time, as though you have a second deity to accept upon yourself. So according to the Rambam, it's clear that saying a pasuk twice is inappropriate and disgraceful, but saying shma twice, meshatkin oisai, you silence him. Yud beis, kara seirugin. If a person reads shma intermittently, you take a break. Yotza, it's fine. Afilu shah bin sirug l'sirug l'ligmer eskula yotza. Even if the break was quite a significant one, between one portion and the next portion, you waited the time that it would take to finish the whole krishma. You still fulfilled your obligation. For hu sheikra ala seder, as long as you follow the order, as we said before, you can't say one paragraph before another paragraph. Kara misnamnet. What if a person is drowsy and he read it while he was drowsy? This is somebody who's not fully awake, but he's also not fully asleep. You know, he's at the verge. Yotzi fulfilled his obligation. As long as in the first pasuk he was completely up and he had kavana, that's fine. Yud gimel. Safik kara kriya shma, safik loy kara chayze v'kayre. Person is not sure. Did I say Krishna? Did I not? You say it again. You make a bracha before and after. But if you know for sure that you said Shema, but you don't remember if you said the blessings before and after, so then you don't have to. And the difference is, if you're not sure if you said Shema, it's a question about a biblical mitzvah. So when you have a doubt, you follow the stringent side and you do it again. But if you know for sure you said Shema, you're just not sure about the brachas are a rabbinic injunction, and therefore if you're in doubt, you could follow the lenient path and you don't do it again. Karavita. If a person, in the middle of Kriya Shema, he made an error, he skipped a pasuk, he skipped a word, he skipped a letter, that's fine. Yachzer l'makam shata. You go back to the place of the error and you resume from there. Nela mimenu ben parsha l'parsha v'eni yedeya ezi parsha. V'eni yedeya ezi hi parsha. Hishlim ve'ezu tzarech lahaschil. If a person starts reading Krishna, he reaches the end of a section, he takes a pause before he begins the next one, and then he forgets, which one did I finish? I don't remember, which one did I finish? Did I finish Shema and start Vahafta, and I have to start Vahafta? Did I finish Vishorecha and I have to start Vayim Shemaya? Did I finish Vayim Shemaya? Did I start Vayim? He doesn't know which one he finished, which one he has to start. Chayzel apayri Krishna. So he goes back to the first possible break. Shehu v'hafta z'Hashem alakecha v'chuli. He starts v'hafta. He knows that he started Shema, so he doesn't have to do Shema Yisrael, because if he started, he did that. But he doesn't know, when did I take a break? So you go back to the first possible place where you take a break. It's not in the middle of Shema Yisrael, Shem alakecha v'chuli. So you start from v'hafta. Halachi yudalit. Ta be'emtza ha-perik. A person makes a mistake in the middle of one of the parshiyas. V'lo yada heichan pasuk. And he doesn't know where. He doesn't know where he stopped. Let's say he skipped over a pasuk. Yeah, or he skipped over a word, or he forgot where he's holding. Yeah, and he doesn't know where he stopped, so he should continue. He takes a break for a moment and then he forgets. Yeah, or he skipped over a pasuk and he doesn't remember exactly where. So what's the problem? You start over from the beginning of the chapter. So let's say in the middle of a Hayim Shamaya, I pause for a moment and I'm like, oh my God, which pasuk am I holding? Which pasuk am I holding? I don't know. It could be the third pasuk, it could be the tenth pasuk. Start over from the beginning. Let's say a person is in the middle of saying Krishna, and he says, uchsaftam al mezuzais, and he's like, which uchsaftam am I, the first uchsaftam or the second one? So what do? You go back to the first one, because you may be at the second one, but you may be holding at the first one, and then you haven't read the second parsha. So you start again, uchsaftam from Shema. What happens if this doubt happens after you started the pasuk l'mayin yirbu, yimeichem v'mei v'neichem, which is in v'hoyim shamaya, einei chayzer. You don't go back to the first uchsaftam. Why? Shal hergil l'shoyni hu l'cholich, because we trust the nature of his language. In other words, from saying Shema every day, he's accustomed that after uchsaftam and v'hoyim shamaya, he says l'mayin yirbu yimeichem. So we trust that. And therefore, if he already started to say Laman Yir, but we assume that he's holding by the second Uchsaftam, not by the first Uchsaftam. Halacha Tesvav. Hoya Kayre. Somebody is reading Shema. Upaga ba'acherim. And he meets other people. Upagu ba'i. Or they meet him. Im hoya bein perik leperik. If he's holding between one section and another section, paisik, he's allowed to interrupt his reading. Umaschil v'shoyel b'shloim l'mishu chayev b'chvayde. and he's allowed to verbally greet a person who he's obligated to show respect to. Whether he met his father, or his teacher, or Mishu Gadol Menu B'Chachma, or somebody who's greater than him in the wisdom of Torah, he's allowed to verbally interrupt the Kriya Shema, if it's between chapter and chapter, and greet this person who he's obligated to show respect to. Umeishiv Shalom L'chol Adam Shenasa Moish Shalom. That's in terms of greeting, in terms of responding, who he could respond to any person who greets him. Any person, even a person who he's not obligated to respect. He meets a person and the person says, oh, Shalom Aleichem, how are you, Rabbi Warren? No problem. Even though you're in the middle of Krishma, between a chapter and a chapter, and a section and a section, I'm allowed to verbally respond and give him Shalom. Haya Koyre Be'emtza Perek. What happens if he's in the middle of a section of Shema? He's not in between sections. Now everything changes. There's no way he's allowed to verbally interrupt his Shema and actually begin and open up with a greeting to somebody, only if it's somebody he's afraid of. Not somebody who he's bound to, who he has to respect, somebody he's afraid of. For example, a king or a tyrant. Now we're not talking about a situation where his life is in danger if he won't greet this person, because then, of course, you're allowed to always do anything in order to save your life. That's not a problem. We're talking about a case where they're not going to kill you, but it could cause you a very uncomfortable situation. You know, this is a king, this is a tyrant. It's a big headache. So here the halacha says you're allowed to stop in the middle of a section of Shema in order to open up with a greeting to this person. But somebody who you have to respect, your father, your teacher, here, if he first greets you, then you could interrupt your Shema and respond with a greeting. But you cannot open up with a greeting to these people. What do we mean between sections? Between the first bracha and the second bracha. So after Yotzer HaMa'iris, before Avas Oilam, that's called Bein HaPrakim. And what would be the halacha? The halacha would be that I'm allowed to greet anybody who I owe respect to, certainly somebody I fear, but anybody I owe respect, I'm allowed to open up with a greeting and say, hi, shalom to my father or my Rebbe. Okay. And I could respond to anybody who says shalom to me. Even a simpleton, he says shalom, I could respond. Bein Shniya L'Shma. Same would be between the second bracha and Shema. Haboicher Bami Yisrael Ba'ava, before Shema Yisrael. Bein Shema L'Vahayim Shemaya. Between Shema, after Ubisharecha, Visharecha, before Vahayim Shemaya. Bein Vahayim Shemaya L'Vahayimer. These are all Bein HaPrakim, between the sections. Avol Bein Vahayim L'Emes V'yatzim Areyu Kem Tzaperek. But after Ani Hashem L'Keichem, between Vayoyim and Emes V'yatzim, that's considered in middle of a chapter. V'lo Yafzik. So over here, you cannot interrupt Ella Lishol Mepnei Hayira, only to greet somebody initially because you're afraid of this person, well, Lahashav Mepnei HaKavod, and to respond to somebody to whom you owe respect, because this has the halacha like in middle of a section of Kriya Shema, not the halacha between sections of the Shema.